Now, I'd like to suggest that we perhaps turn back to Isaiah 40, which is the first of our readings, and that's on page 725. And I want to go to look this morning at part of that reading, because really there's so much in it, and we'll have to leave some of it to next time. I just want to look at verses 9 to 11 of Isaiah 40. And first, I want to pray. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good seed which was sown to produce the wonderful fruit and vegetables that are around us here as reminders of your goodness. We thank you for the good seed of your word, which when sown in hearts bears a crop to eternal life. So we pray that now we would be ready to hear and receive the message you have for us and ready to share it with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you like to follow the news. Some of us might be addicted to the news. We're always glued to the television or to the, we have our nose buried in the newspaper or following on the internet the latest goings on in the world. Others try to avoid that altogether because you find it too depressing or too hard to really follow what's going on. But I think all of us probably like to receive good news. We love that. You know, an envelope comes through the door and you open it up and there's a lovely big check inside there. You know, you paid too much tax and here's a refund for you. You can always hope, can't you? So it's lovely to get good news, isn't it? Or a text message comes in to say, you know, a baby that you've been waiting to hear about has been born, safely arrived, and all is well. We love to get good news. And the Bible presents itself as being good news. This book tells us that it's full of good news. I know sometimes we think of the Bible as being different things. We think of it as being like an instruction manual, and that's a lot of truth in that. Sometimes we think of it maybe being like a contract. You know, it tells us if we do this and God will do that. And there's a bit of truth in that. But above all, the Bible is good news. It's like a newspaper, but that only contains good news, or at least that it does tell us bad news about ourselves, that we've gone wrong, but it tells us that there's far better news, that God still loves us. In fact, the Bible has given rise to its own word for good news, gospel. The gospel simply means the good news. One of my favorite historical figures in the church was a man called William Tyndale. And William Tyndale was the first man to translate the Bible from the original languages into English. He did that in the early 1500s. And he actually ended up being executed because of that, because in those days the church wanted to keep control of the thing and not let people read it. But William Tyndale not only translated the Bible, he also wrote a little introduction so that people would know what it was about. And in that he says that the Bible has got the gospel in it. And he says this word gospel means good, merry, glad, and joyful tidings. Or news. He says it's news that makes a person's heart glad, that makes them sing and dance and leap for joy. And later William Tyndale says, whoever believes this good news cannot help but be glad and laugh from the very bottom of his heart. Wonder, do you find it that way? Here's great news. And certainly Isaiah thought so, because in our passage, in Isaiah 40, verse 9, he mentions it again and again. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. So here's great news, and it's news that needs to be shared and spread around. I wonder who first shared with you the good news about God. Maybe it was a kind of a professional, you know, someone like a minister or a preacher. Or maybe it was just some friend or member of the family who told you the good news that there's a God who loves you. I know that for myself, it was two very significant people. One was Mavis Gibbons. And Mavis is a lady, now she's still alive, and when she shared the good news with me about 30 years ago, I thought she was ancient, so she can't have been. But Mavis, in a confirmation class up in Lisburn, shared with us the good news about Jesus. And I believed it at the age of about 14, nearly 30 years ago. And then later, another man in our school this time, a teacher, called Reggie Hazlett. And Reggie came to me one day after a chemistry lesson, and he said, "David, I know that you are a Christian, but have you ever thought about taking a stand for what you believe?" And he was inviting me to join a little group that they had there in the school for students, and they would meet together once a week to encourage one another in the faith. And also, every now and then, this group of Christians would take an assembly. So we'd stand up in front of the whole school, hundreds and hundreds of them, and give a little assembly about Jesus and the gospel. And that was a scary thing. But I'm glad I did, because that was, I think, probably the first time that I publicly said before lots and lots of people, my friends in school, that yes, I believed in Jesus. Sometimes when you take a public stand, it also leads to private opportunities to speak about Jesus. And I think Isaiah here has in mind to encourage the people to share the good news. It's not just for professionals, preachers, and so on like that. It's for all of us to share the good news. In fact, you could translate these verses. It's not just you who bring good news to Jerusalem. But you could translate it, Jerusalem, bringer of good news to the world. So we don't all have a calling to stand up in a pulpit and to preach. But all of us who believe in Jesus have a calling to share the good news when we have an opportunity. And Isaiah says, "Lift up your voice, do not be afraid." Don't be afraid to share your faith in God. You know, it's very natural, isn't it, to share good news when something is going well. You want to tell everybody. If you find that such and such a petrol station is selling the petrol and the diesel for a great price, you'll share with everybody. You'll spread the news around. If you see a really amazing movie that's just so great, you'll tell people. You've got to go and watch that. If you have a new grandchild, you'll tell everybody about how wonderful they are. It's natural to share good news. When the young science researchers, Watson and Crick, discovered the structure of DNA in the 1950s in Cambridge, they realized it was a tremendous scientific breakthrough. And what they did was they ran to the pub nearby, where they were accustomed to taking their lunch, and they stood up on a chair and announced to everybody, "We've discovered the structure of DNA." I don't know whether the people even looked up from their lunchtime drinks and sandwiches, but they felt they had to go and tell everybody. Well, should we do the same with the gospel, with the good news of God and Jesus? Should we be running to the pubs and the hotels to stand on a chair and tell everybody? Actually, it would be a perfectly valid thing to do, I think. But we have to have wisdom as well. You know, what would you do the next day? Would you keep doing it? There's wisdom that we need. I think above all, we want to take the opportunities that come up to share the good news. That is, when something arises in conversation that naturally leads on to Jesus and the gospel, don't be afraid to say something. Sometimes events give an opportunity. Sometimes an illness, or indeed the passing of someone that we know, can create opportunities. Sometimes people are open to speak about these things. I know that I've been at speaking to people around the time of maybe a death, and it's come up in conversation. What happens next? Where do we go after this? People sometimes say, well, no one's ever come back to tell us. That's a golden opportunity, isn't it? Because we can point out, well, one person did come back. And sometimes that'll lead on to a great conversation about Jesus. I think at this time of year, maybe you might not like this, okay, but I think at this time of year as we come up to Halloween, it's a very interesting opportunity. I don't like Halloween. Well, I have nothing against All Saints Day, which is the 1st of November, and I have nothing against the eve of All Saints Day, which is Halloween, but I don't like, really, to be honest, I don't really like to see little small children going around dressed as zombies and stuff like that. And I don't think we necessarily want to go in with all guns blazing and tell people that, you know, that's a disgrace and you shouldn't do that. But sometimes maybe we'll have a chance just to say, well, you know, I'd rather celebrate light and life rather than darkness and death. Sometimes that can lead on to a useful conversation. Don't be afraid, Isaiah says. Lift up your voice. Bring good news. And remember, it's the good news about God. It's not the good news about you and me. It's not the news about one particular church being superior to another. It's good news about God. I think many, many people, even in our society today, are open to hearing good news about God. Do you know a survey was done in 2018, just last year, in Ireland? And it was about belief. It was asking people, do they believe in some higher power or spiritual force? So in other words, some kind of idea of a God. And of course, among people who were practicing Christians, who went to church, they said yes, almost all anyway. But the survey found that amongst people who said they were Christians, but they didn't actually go to church, still 42% of them believed in some kind of a God. And among those who weren't affiliated to any church, they said they didn't have any religion, still nearly 30% believed that there's some kind of God. Okay, so a third almost of the people who say they have no religion, they don't belong to any organized church or religious body, still nearly a third of them believe there is a God of some kind. So what we need to do is to let people know that, yes, that instinct that they have is true. There is a God, and he's good. And he's good. That's the point that Isaiah wants to get across here. There's great news about God. God is really, really good. Because he is willing and able to rescue us for eternity. He's willing and able. Let me illustrate it this kind of way. Now, in our country, we're really blessed to have the emergency services that we have. You know, they're very highly trained, they're capable, and if we call them, they will come and help us. Imagine you lived in a country where the emergency services weren't so good. Imagine your house is on fire and you call the fire brigade and they turn up and they say, well, I'm very sorry, but we've got no hose and we've got no water. We're not able to help. It'd be a disaster. Imagine you fall into the sea and the lifeboat comes along, but they say, well, I'm sorry, we just cleaned the boat and I don't really think we want to lift you into it. You look like you're a bit kind of wet. They're not willing to help. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But you get the picture. The emergency services will be no use if they're not able to help. They're no use if they're not willing to help. And if we had a God who's not able to help us or not willing to help us, then it would not be good news. But we have a God who is both able and willing. That's what Isaiah points out in these next verses. In verse 10, He points out that God is able to help because he's the sovereign Lord. He comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. He is mighty to save. He's able to help. Jesus, remember, is able to help because he has risen from the dead. He's conquered the grave. He's able to bless us. Great subject to turn to in conversations with friends and neighbors, the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, it's half a year since Easter, so I'll remind you, why do we believe in the resurrection? Remember those four things the eyewitnesses saw? They saw that he died, they saw he was buried, they saw the tomb was empty, and they saw him alive again. He's able to save. He's mighty. But is he willing? Yes. Verse 11. Listen to this. He's the loving shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. Gently leads those that have young. It's a lovely picture of God's willingness. Now, I wouldn't stand up here today and tell you anything about looking after sheep. There are people here who understand that kind of thing, and I don't. And on this harvest day, as we honor our farmers, I'm certainly not going to tell you that I'm any expert, but that picture of a shepherd gathering the sheep and caring for them, and perhaps particularly at lambing time when those that are weak need to be given special care, that's a picture of God's willingness to help us. So here's the good news about God. He's able to help because he's the sovereign Lord who's risen from the dead. He's willing to help because he's the loving shepherd who died for us, laid down his life for the sheep. There's something really simple to remember when we're trying to pass on the good news. The cross shows that Jesus is willing to help. The resurrection shows that he's able to help. Together, there's great news. Great news. You who bring good news, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Jesus is calling us to come to him and find his grace, and he's calling us to go for him and to share his gospel. The good news about a great God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for good news, which fills this book from Genesis to Revelation. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us to your Son, Jesus Christ, and then send us in the power of your Spirit, that we would take the opportunities you give to be speakers of good news in these difficult days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.